All right. In Romans chapter 10, many people have tried to use this as the model, especially in the once saved, always saved area, of the sinner's prayer. Right? When they say that if you confess, and this is mainly the parts they quote, and you tell me if this isn't true yourself. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. And as the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. Right? For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, how many of you recognized that formula within those scriptures that I just read that's used over and over as a formula for the sinner's prayer? And then it ends with the promise that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then once saved, always saved people use this to say, see, all you have to do is call upon Jesus' name and you're saved. How many recognize that formula? I've heard it before. How many of you have seen it demonstrated in leading a sinner to pray? This formula as a prayer in order to receive salvation. All right, now I'm going to go back to the beginning of Romans 10, and you're going to see something that'll really blow you away. Brothers, chapter 10, verse 1. Listen to the context of this. We're going to discuss it as we go. Brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for the Israelites, is that they may be saved. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Now, they sought to establish their own by how? By thinking that they could keep the law of themselves, right? And they did not submit themselves to God's righteousness, which was the receiving of Jesus' death on the tree to pay for their sin, right? Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Moses describes it in this way. The righteousness that is by the law, the man who does these things will live by them. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is, to bring Christ down. Or, who will descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ up from the dead. Now let's make the point. You of your own power cannot ascend into heaven to bring the Savior down, can you? To bring the sacrifice for sin down, or to bring righteousness down yourself, can you? And you cannot go into hell and bring Christ up from the dead of your own power, can you? But what does the word say? Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven, that is to bring Christ down, or who will descend into the deep, that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now I want you to notice the beginning context of this, and that context I just read to. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God and sought to establish their own, verse 3, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Right? They did not submit to God's righteousness, but tried to establish their own by the law. Now the first verse that you should take into account here, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer for God for the Israelites is that they may be saved. The last verse you should be concerned in this contest, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Can you see what's juxtaposed against each other? What's compared with each other? A righteousness that comes by keeping the law versus a righteousness by faith. That's the context. Are you saved because you submitted yourself to God and put your trust in Him through the sacrifice of Christ, a righteousness that comes by faith? Or are you trying to justify yourself and establish your own righteousness? That's the point of this. This doesn't have anything to do with laying down a formula for you to say pretty words and get saved. This is showing you, he's talking specifically about the Israelites and what they need to do versus what they were doing. How many of you can see that? So when he's saying this, it's in regards to this context, isn't it? The word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth. Now, confess with your mouth, what is that? Let's go back and read earlier in the thing. Since they did not know the righteousness that comes from God, Jesus, and sought to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. Now, keep in mind that verse. They did not submit to God's righteousness if thou shalt confess with your mouth. If thou shalt confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. See, the whole point of this is about we focus on a righteousness that comes by faith through Jesus, not what we can do of ourselves. That's the theme of this chapter. The theme of this chapter isn't just about you getting saved, is it? Or coming up with a formula for you to say the right words. The theme of this chapter is not a sinner's prayer. The theme of this chapter is the difference between entering in through faith through Jesus Christ and submitting yourself to God, which is demonstrated in your confession of faith, versus you trying to establish your own righteousness. Versus you trying to establish your own righteousness. So don't say in your heart, who will bring Christ down? Don't say in your heart, who will bring Christ up? But what does the word say? If you will confess, the word is near you, it is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith. The word of faith we are proclaiming. That if you confess with your mouth, submit yourself to God and His righteousness, right? That Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead. Not you. That God raised Him from the dead. You can't do it. You will be saved. Will be. Now, I want you to notice something. Saved is not the sinner's prayer. According to this, your hope is in the resurrection of Christ. Isn't that true? And if you will submit to Christ and His righteousness, you will be saved. It doesn't say anything about the moment you say it, does it? It says you will be saved. Now, listen. That is, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified. And it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. Now, with your mouth. How many times with your mouth? One time? Listen on. It is with your mouth you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now, trusts. Is that about one-time trust or a continuing trust? Y'all tell me, is that about one time you express trust through a confession, or is it a continuing trust? Anyone who trusts, it's a continuing trust, isn't it? Anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord over of all, and richly blesses all who call on Him. For everyone who calls, just like trusts, continuing, on the name of the Lord, will be saved. Do you see the thing of faith there? That you must continue to call upon the Lord, not just call on one. And this is the point. When you take this as a formula, when you take this as a formula for a sinner's prayer, you are led to believe that if you just say the sinner's prayer, you're saved. Isn't that what they lead you to believe with this prayer? If you just say the sinner's prayer and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, you're saved. But is that what it's saying? Or must faith be demonstrated over your life through trust and confession? That it's a continuing trust and a continuing confession so that when it is done, you will be saved. Right? And this shows you the difference between being saved through faith and trying to establish your own salvation. Being saved through faith, having a righteousness that comes from God, or you trying to establish your own righteousness. For everyone who calls, not once, who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. All who call on Him will be richly blessed. So how can they call on the one they've not believed in? In other words, if they were trying to establish their own righteousness, as it says earlier, how can they call on the one they haven't believed in, didn't express faith in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? See, it's making the point that God provided everything in the way of righteousness and the means for righteousness, not us. How can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring news. But not all the Israelites, and again, we're back to the Israelites, aren't we? The whole context of this is about how the Israelites will get saved, right? But not all the Israelites accepted the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing, and hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. In other words, the only one that God provided, the only name God gave under heaven by which a man must be saved. But I ask, did they hear? Did they not hear? Of course they did. Can you see the difference in the context? Doesn't this true context here in Romans 10 show you that this was never meant to be used the way it is used? That it was never meant to be a sample prayer. It was never meant to be a formula for you say the previous words and you're done. It was never meant to be used the way it is out of its context. This was speaking about how, specifically, the Israelites will ever come to faith, and the difference between those who enter in through faith and those who try to establish their own righteousness. That the confession is all about a demonstration of our submission to the righteousness of God, which is Christ. And the only way, and that you must continue in this confession of faith and repentance, till when? Till you receive what is promised. And all who call, just like all who trust, it is a continuous thing. It is not one time. This has been used way wrong, hasn't it? And been taken way out of context. But can you see that there was a theme from the beginning to the end of this that you were supposed to follow in order to have the right context? And how many times, pieces of Scripture, I want y'all to think about this, how many pieces of Scripture have we done that way by tradition? We've turned certain expanses of Scripture, John chapter 3 about born again, Romans 10 about the confession of faith, Matthew 16 about describing what a Christian, how do you recognize a Christian? We've taken all of these things out of context, you know, and made them into formulas. There is no formula for salvation, and there never was. There is no pretty words you say, and you're done. There is no ritual. And these, that's what these are, is ritualized portions of Scripture, aren't they? That's what they are to many people. That's why they appear in all these tracts. That's why they're used every time somebody witnesses. That's why they're meant to give you a meaning and an understanding of Christianity. That's just not true. Amen? But do you see that point where they have ritualized pieces of Scripture to turn them into something that they're not meant to be for? And you'll see this over and over and again, because these are the traditions that we've been raised with and been told that it is the Bible. And that's not what it is.